World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Kind of chuckling there as I was listening to that intro that we do at the beginning of this thing. What do you call it? The intro, the whatever. Hey, pass the salt. That was made about 20 some years ago, I think. Maybe even could even have been a little bit longer than that. And to think how right on that whole thing was, right? Church still won't get involved. Hey, pass the salt, right? Huh? We're jellyfish. 20 some years ago, I was saying, jellyfish, do you guys know this? You know, 20 years is a generation. Can be considered one of the generations. Sometimes they say it's 30 years, 40 years, 20 years. A lot of times, in old times, 20-year-old people were married and having families. That's a generation, right? Today, people don't get married because they sleep around, do whatever they want to. We all know that sex is the biggest driver to marriage. Because there was a time when you couldn't have sex outside of marriage. And so your hormones got involved. And so you got married at 17 or 18 or 19 and had children by the time you were 21 or 22. Those were the days we grew up in. My dad was born in 1919 and my sister was born in 1947. So how old was dad when he had his first child? We look around, that's not going on anymore. Why is it not going on anymore? Well, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Why pay for the cow when you can milk it for free? I made a promise to folks here before we went live. Lord, just thank you for this day and the chance to be able to be here in Jesus' name. Here's what I want to do as we jump out here. We're going to do communion first. I thank you, Joe, that you're here to do it with us and for us. But after that, I want this to be a flea flicker fried. That's the word I was looking for. What do you guys think? What is something you want to talk about that I don't bring up? Because when I come down here every morning, I've got about 10 different topics that I could go on. Because if we don't have a topic, this show dies in the middle of the show for lack of whatever. So I have a tendency to direct the discussions, and I'm happy to do that. But I would like to hear today, what's bugging you? What is something that we should talk about that we're not talking about? So I'd ask all of you as we get ready to do communion here, that you get ready for Flea Flicker Friday. You bring some things to the table that we can discuss. Hey, listen, I got all kinds of stuff. You wouldn't believe the stuff I've got. Do you know how close we are? Do you know this, don't you? Tell me you do. That this will be the last chance that we have as an election. This will be it. This will be it. If you think that we allow those Luciferians to get in power for 4 more years, with the wicked, wicked legal system we have, with no truth, with the silence of the church. If you think liberty's gonna, I'm just telling you, this is a much more critical time than what we understand it to be. So I'm not a doom or gloomer. I think we're winning. I look around and see all kinds of stuff being exposed that we didn't know about. Big farmers being exposed, big governments being exposed. We now know that Nancy Pelosi, I could play that, I won't today. Nancy Pelosi, there's a video of Nancy Pelosi walking around saying, this is all my fault. I should have called the National Guard. It's my fault. Do you guys know that? You know that? As she's blaming the insurrection on Trump publicly, she is taking responsibility. It's my fault. It's my fault. And then she says, where's Chief Sund? Where's Chief Sund? Chief Sund was the Capitol Police chief. And where is he? Why hasn't he? Well, now we found out Chief Sund's son was asking for all kinds of help and she wouldn't give it. I mean, what a mess we're in, right? Really, what a mess we're in. And I'm excited because I think some great stuff's on the horizon. So I'm going to shut up a minute. I'm going to let Joe take us in and Joe take us through communion here, brother. I got to jump up. Real quick, I'm out of elements. I got to walk over here and grab one. So go ahead, Joe.
Producer, if you could move that a little bit. Thank you, sir. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father.
Amen.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
Producer, please. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die.
No, that's pretty profound right there, isn't it, brother? He said, you can eat all the natural food you want to. You can do it, because men before you ate all the natural food they wanted. They're dead. They'd be dead.
And it's extremely profound.
You're never going to die.
And if we take the Bible literally, as I believe, except when it is obviously speaking in allegory or something similar, but here, this is literal. I believe that our spirits won't die.
Joe, why aren't we teaching this to our children? Wouldn't this, folks, don't you think this should be a pretty important thing that we ought to teach every child in school? Or is the gospel just for Christians? Is it just for Christians?
I think that we know that we don't teach it to our children because we have a totally wrong belief of, or politically correct belief of what should be in school, which that's not actually how the Constitution reads.
That's right. That's right.
It reads, Congress shall make no law, not thou shalt not have prayer or Bible in school. It's two totally different things.
Hey, Joe, I'm sorry, folks. This is just all over me. Wouldn't you think that the religious organizations, call them whatever you want to, wouldn't you think they'd be fighting as hard to get the gospel into the schools as the left is getting transgenderism in the schools? Could it be that the left is they're more committed to their cause than Christians are committed to our cause? Do you understand that? We've made Christianity exclusive. Most of the children in the public schools have not heard of Christianity. They've not heard of Jesus, not heard of creation. They've not heard of any of that stuff. But they all know about transgenderism and homosex, and they know about all that. And so we have to ask ourselves, which team's more committed? Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
You know, but what's sort of shocking, Coach, is even 10 years ago, they didn't know half the stuff you just talked about because it wasn't in school.
That's right.
But now anything that they say has to be in school is and shouldn't isn't. And that's what's good is good and evil is good is evil. What's evil is good.
That's right.
We're
that's
in
right.
those days. And it should be waking a lot of people, even on the left, up. It should be. I think it actually probably is. They're just afraid to admit it.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and go over to communion, Joe.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever.
Pretty straightforward,
brother. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you,
He doubled down, didn't he?
He did.
You're full of crap. How can that be? He doubled down. Go ahead, Joe.
Except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Wow.
As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven.
Mm.
Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we worship and serve a God that gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him may have everlasting life and not perish.
Amen.
And we're so grateful for these verses we just read, which say that little statement, but a lot more deeply and profoundly. And we don't really understand or comprehend, I don't think, what happened on that day. I know we believe in you as the Messiah, but that was really deep, Lord, and communion has a lot more meaning than I think we understand.
Thank you, Lord.
But we here today are grateful, and as we come into your presence, we ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions, bring us cleansed into your sight. Please bless this bread and this drink, representing the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that means and represents. And we ask you, Lord, that after this communion, let our bodies react as if these verses I read have been fulfilled by our taking this communion, that you are a physical and spiritual part of us after this, that we have taken that bread of life into us. And you know better than we, the condition our once great country is in. We know it without your help, Lord, and without your flipping the table over, the enemy, it looks like he's going to win this game. But we also realize, Lord, that a lot is happening that we can't see. And many of us here believe that we actually are winning because it's your game, Lord. And there's so much truth being exposed. So we pray that more eyes be open to the real truth. And let even the media begin to tell the truth, because it's so obvious that they don't want to look like fools and liars. So please let those we meet see you in us. Keep us safe and all our loved ones in today and through this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Job well done as usual. Amen. Amen. Play number one. And then I want to hear from you. What do you want? I want to hear from you. Number one. This is pretty good, folks. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s former running mate, Nicole Shanahan, thinks her name. She made this video because I think this is very, very real. And I think that you find out that a lot of people, the situation we're in, a lot of people are voting anti. That's really where we are in America, and lesser two evils, voting anti. And so she made a video on Trump derangement syndrome. Go ahead, play that, Joe. All right. Spencer.
Are you or your loved ones suffering from illnesses such as TDS, also known as Trump derangement syndrome? Do you dismiss or deny the current issues facing our country, such as historic inflation, illegal immigration, corporate corruption, World War III escalations, and the chronic disease epidemic? Are you willing to elect someone who was the least popular vice president in modern history, and who offers no policy or vision for America simply because your brain keeps telling you anyone but Trump? If so, you might be struggling from TDS. Introducing Independence. Independence allows you the freedom to finally think independently once again. Instead of believing everything you hear from the mainstream media, Independence allows for constructive critical thinking.
I used to hear people on the news say things like,
Donald Trump and the movement he has encouraged are a threat to democracy.
And I instantly believed it. With Independence, I now realize the media is run by the Democrat elite, who are a corrupt oligarchy that censors free speech, silences political opponents, supports forever wars, and abandons democracy by anointing its candidates.
Independence may not be for everyone. If you enjoy being lied to about your president's cognitive abilities, support Orwellian totalitarianism, or are excited about communist fiscal policy, Independence may not be right for you. Common side effects of Independence may include an awakening of rational thought, successfully identifying propaganda, freedom of choice, loss of hatred, anti-narcissistic behavior, and love of democracy.
I used to blindly hate whoever my party was running against. I didn't care about facts or policy because I was hopelessly indoctrinated. With Independence, I'm much more interested in policies that uphold democracy, and I truly care about the health of our country and its citizens.
Ask your doctor if Independence is right for you, and enjoy your freedoms once again.
It's pretty effective, isn't it? And again, folks, that applies across the board to all of us. And you know, I don't consider myself a Republican, right? You know that, right? But as I've said, I told you I'm going to vote for, because I will not vote for those other Luciferians. And the more I'm awake, the more I look around, the more that I understand, folks, the Republican Party is not voting for what you want. They're not, our Republican elected officials are not standing up and fighting for what they are telling us they're for. They're not. And so we really find ourselves, I think, as a shift. I think we're in the midst of a shift where the two parties are going to collapse. We're going to see something new come out of that. It has to. Something new has to come out of it. Nobody wants to jump in with a good thing to talk about. Go ahead, Judah.
Coach, it's amazing to see your team and just the movement and who God brings in and takes out and brings in and moves around. It all has a purpose. I was thinking about this the other day is in the book of Numbers. You know, Moses sent out from the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent out spies into the land. You know, you think about football. What do you got to do to win a game? The week before, the weeks before that, the big game, what are you doing? You're creating a scouting report. The scouting report, you know, what's needed for that? You might send assistant coaches to go video another game. You might have them go do other things. You know, Ohio Brett, you know, he's going all over the nation. And, you know, really just being able to bring back scouting reports, lead back good information. Just people all over this team and network, they're all over the country. And it's such a blessing to be able to see it. But as I look at that, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they went behind enemy lines. They brought back information that was critical for the fight. But you know what? God was in all of it. His hand was in all of it. So I just see this thing like, you know, people are staking. People are moving. God's hand is moving. And the revelations and the exposures and the things that are happening, they're all happening because the spies are in it. Inside the gate, they're inside the walls of Jericho, and they're bringing it back out going, dude, wait till I tell you what I saw. It's absolutely awesome. Like, this is what they're doing. And you know what? When the moment comes and when the walls of Jericho fall, it's because people are obedient. And that's just something that was on the heart, is that there's so many people within this group that are all part of the 12 tribes. They're special people who were selected. And it's just, it's amazing to see as people move forward. If you stand for truth, everything else is so visible. You know, you can't defend truth. That's the best part. You're like, this is a fact. This is a fact. You have to deal with it and move on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, folks, get you in here a second, George. Mel, get you right in here. I can't help. The old football coach, right? If you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. And I can't help but think that we're in the mess that we're in, because what percentage of Christians do you believe actually think America will still be here 500 years from today? What percentage of Christians do you think actually believe that? And I would say not very many. And so I think a lot of our issue is not theological, because I think those of you who believe that the end of the world is near can justify that through the scripture. I'm not going to argue with you on that. I see it too. The question is, what do we do when we see the end is near? Do we take our hands off of everything? Do we quit fighting? Do we quit teaching our children the truth? Do we let the devil be in control of our schools? It seems to me the church is doing that because they're living out pre-written history. You guys understand what I'm saying? If all of a sudden things started happening that were really, really good, what would be the reaction of the church? It's supposed to get bad. What's going on? It's getting good. And I look at us as a team. We play not to lose. We don't play to win. We play to maybe run the clock out a little bit longer. The American Christian Church does not play to win. Anybody want to argue with me on that? They do not play to win. They play to be comfortable, and then whatever happens in, they're out of here, whether it's personal death, whether it's rapture, whether it's the end of the world. The American church does not fight as if our life depended on it. That's the problem that we have in America. And you can call it theological, you can call it whatever you want to, but that's the way that I see it. They are spiritually assassinating young children in school, real people with real souls, and the church doesn't care. Just a sign of the end, coach. Just as that's what the Bible says was going to happen at the end time. It'd be like my wife coming up and saying, honey, I don't know if you noticed this, this pipe's dripping over here and it's running on our carpet. I said, yeah, honey, we're not going to be here much longer anyway. Let's just go ahead and let it drip. We won't waste that money fixing that thing, because that's what happens to those pipes. That is ludicrous. Yet that's how we act in the culture, as if we're not supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're supposed to let all this evil go on. Somehow all this evil going on glorifies God. That's what the church basically is saying. It glorifies God. We'll be out of here soon. I can't live like that. Mel, go ahead.
Thanks, Coach. Anyway, what I want to talk about, Spencer, if you can scroll down just a little bit, we've been working on a three-part action, Randy Lunsford and Craig and I, and so I just want to kind of do a soft announcement and kind of explain, you know, kind of what we're thinking about. So in September of 2022, some of you might remember that we did a calling to the people, and it was really because the month of Elul, and Craig could talk more about this if he were here, but Elul is, it kind of translates from I am beloved and my beloved is mine. It comes from Song of Psalms 6:3, but it's a time of preparation. It's a time of introspection. It's a time of connection and a time of customs. This year in the calendar, it goes from September 4th until October 2nd. And so that first one, first things first, repentance, humiliation, remorse, fasting, and prayer. If you click on that, that's I've tweaked it a little bit, and instead of being a calling to the people, I'm thinking more about 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it talks about my people, if my people who are called by my name. So, and I've kind of changed it from just this nation to the nations. I mean, this is for everybody. So the reason that I'm putting this up is that we should always think about repentance and being right with God before we go out and do any action. And this is really one of the ministries that understands spiritual warfare. We do a lot of staking, you know, as you know, the things that we do. So anyway, I'm proposing, and I'd love to get your ideas and your feedback on, you know, maybe starting that again. We did it in 2022, 2 years ago. And so I'm thinking that maybe we redo that. And just as a reminder to ourselves that when we go out and we do staking, like, we should always think about repentance and making sure we're right with God first. The second and third one there, stand and speak to the mountain of the media, stand and speak in action for the county courts. To the mountain of the media is like what we did for the DNC in Chicago recently. So this is going to be a click and print. All of these have click and print information that you can, you know, read it on the screen or take it out with you. And when you're out, you know, if you're around, you know, radio companies or television stations or really the mountain of the media, you can do that about any, you know, organization, you know, so that's there for, you're familiar with that. And then the stand and speak in action for the county courts is what Randy's been doing in Oklahoma. Again, the information is there on the screen. You can click and print. You could not only just the declarations, but we also have the Jericho template that kind of describes sort of, you know, that the information behind that all. So this is just kind of a soft announcement of this. It's something that we're working on. So I'd love to get your feedback. Thanks.
So Mel, is maybe the question open to everybody. Is Christianity corporate or individual? Which is it? Which is it? I'm trying to think how to explain this. Our local churches are corporate. The corporate. They deal with their group basically only. They have their own coach, they have their own team, and they follow the rules and regulations and coaching tips of the coach. It's most churches, even in particular denominations. I'm sure it's not unusual that an assembly of a God pastor may not like the assemblies of God pastor on the other side of town. I think that's human nature, and I think that's going on. And what we're doing, and one of the things that Randy's wakened us up to and Craig has wakened us up to, maybe Craig's sick this morning, man. He's always here. So, well, Craig, if you're fighting, man, we're with you, is the rise of the individual Christian. And I don't, do you guys remember this about, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months ago? The Pope came out and criticized people who were talking about being born again in a personal relationship with God. Do you guys remember that? Anybody besides me remember that? And to me, that's the heart of Christianity, being born again in a personal relationship with Christ. To know that Randy Lunsford can take his wife and a couple friends and go to the courthouse and make a difference. You don't have to go to the pastor and get the pastor's approval and then have the pastor ask the people up above him and go to the elder board. Folks, that's not the way Christianity is supposed to work. It's not. Somewhere along the line, we've made Christianity a business. One of the things we're trying to do here is we're trying to get you, dare I say it, start your own little business, your own little Christian business, where you go and stake it, you go and speak it, you go and stand up to make Christianity individual again. That's where my heart is. And that's what I love so much about what's going on here, the different ideas that people are bringing. Maybe some of them you like, maybe some of them you don't like. But ask yourself this very simple question. What have you done, what have you done with your faith publicly in the last year? You, publicly, not your pastor in your church going down feeding the homeless. No. You, what have you done publicly? I walked in, I'm not bragging, don't take it wrong. My granddaughter had a volleyball game the other day, and I walked in there, got all my Jesus paraphernalia on. Got my Jesus, not my cross, I got my Jesus hats over here. Got my Jesus hat on, got a Jesus shirt on. Walk into the public school, sit on the front row. People come by and they look at me like I'm a freak. Huh? You know what's just as amazing? How many people walk by and lean down. I love your shirt. I love your hat. You with me? Christianity is individual, folks. And it's individual. Jesus came to put a fire in you. Jesus called you the salt of the earth, you the light of the world. He didn't call you church, your denomination, your pastor. He didn't say that about you. That. No, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And what we do is we get together, we have a huddle, and we run a play. And sometimes when you get in the huddle, you get to call the play. Randy calls it one time, Craig calls it another, Brett calls it another. Everybody calling plays, and we're all running the same play. And ask yourself this very simple question. Is the American church doing that? Are we doing it any way, shape, or form? Is the American church at all impacting and influencing the Republican Party? And the answer is not only no, but hell no. And so we're putting our trust into men and women who are not men and women of God. And the men and women of God are sitting silently in the church, silently in their prayer closet, expecting something big to happen. And it ain't going to happen. Some of you are going to have your hat on and your shirt on and step onto the playing field. That's what we're going to have to do. It's going to have to start legally, locally with your sheriff, with your county commissioners, with your school board. Why are we permitting this to go on? See, I don't care what your pastor says. You're sitting in your church and you're sick of what's going on. You don't need your pastor's approval. It would be great if he got on board. It'd be great if he did. It would be great if he said to the rest of the people in the church, folks, listen, Jerry over here, he's having some trouble with transgenderism in the public schools, and Jerry's going to stand and fight against that, and we're going to all go stand with Jerry. Has that ever happened in any church you've ever been in? And then we ask ourselves why we're not winning. Well, that's why we're not winning. In fact, if Jerry comes to his pastor is going to try to calm Jerry down, say, just relax. The Lord's in control, Jerry. Lord's in control, right? What a bunch of malarkey. We sit around, we watch what's going on. Jesus said, huh? Can you say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. See, we see evil going on, and we say that's God's will. It's crazy. That's where we are. Laura Ann, come on in. Don't get involved in religion and politics, Coach. Don't mix those two.
Well, Coach, as an encouragement, as a coach, the first thing I want to talk about is that as a coach, you have taken the misfits of the church and you've made us a football team, and you've become a spiritual parent to us, all of us who have, you know, and given us, I'm going to start crying, a place to play.
Amen.
And said that we have value and you see the potential and you want to, like a good parent would, you know, you call us out on our stuff, but you say you do it because you want us, it's for the glory of God, for his glory, but it's something very special and unique because you coach us to be better and to do what we're called to do and that we can believe it. And we're all around the world. And I've talked to Mel about the Day of Atonement, which is October 11th, and us coming together on that particular day and repenting on behalf of the nation because it's the Day of Atonement and Jesus' sacrifice. But I wouldn't have been able to talk to Mel if Claudine wouldn't have said, hey, listen to Coach Dave. Yeah. You know, and she's on the East Coast. I'm in the Midwest. You know, and, you know, we've got all these people and, you know, I love Betty. I love her. She's so incredibly special. So you're bringing the family together and God's using it as a good dad, as a good grandpa, as a spiritual leader. But as a coach, you got us on the field. And when some of us are wounded and we have to, you know, we have to be benched because we're hurt, you know, until we get healed. So we're there, but then it's not forever. You're on the bench. You just need to heal and then come back in and you can play.
Amen.
So thank you. And thank you for gifting us to be able to do that and bringing about the things that nobody wants to talk about. And on top of it, you're not pushing products to sell, you know, you're the only thing that you care about is whether or not people meet Jesus and they're going to heaven or hell. And no longer is the church operating or the family of God operating like a business, because the 501c3 business model. And here I'm going to give you a lecture, but you got to donate to the lecture. And then you can go buy my books and, you know, and then there's classes that we offer to push my agenda and my business, and my business is just God. Cause every single church has a president and a vice president and a board of directors. Yeah. Every single one of them do. Yeah. Do not be mistaken.
Amen. So, Laura Ann, when I lay my head on my pillow at night, I ask myself this question. Today, did I serve the Lord or did he serve me? It kind of gets to it, doesn't it? And I think we are preaching a Jesus that serves us, makes us healthy, wealthy, and wise, protects us without ever, ever having to do anything for him. And I think that's, if we took that aspect a little bit more seriously, because Jesus said on that day, there are going to be many going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these great things? And he says, pardon me again, who are you? I never knew you. Meaning, he never really had your heart. Lord, have your heart? All of it? I don't even think they preach it anymore. Like Jesus is just sitting outside. He just can't wait to come and live inside little old you. That's the way we make it. Rather than the fear of the Lord, I'm going to fall on my face because God is an awesome judgment man, dude. And I'm afraid of that judgment. Lord, I'm going to spend every waking hour advancing your kingdom. Now, we can't do that. I understand. But is that your intention? When you get up in the morning, are you thinking, how am I going to expand the kingdom? I'd say the answer is no. Brett, come on in. They don't even teach it. They don't even teach it.
They don't even teach it. They don't pass out the manuals when you turn it, come in for 2-a-days. Coach, I love you. You know that. I love head coaches, and what you're doing and Michelle are so special. And Betty Perkins, what an all-star. Her and Dingo came up to our first annual concert. She does so many things behind the scenes. Betty Perkins, she's a player. But she's an example of the standard of your team, because people want to transfer. They want to leave LSU and come to your team.
That's right. That's right. They get criticized when they do. Say, I'm leaving that team. I'm like the college football. I'm going to go to the high
Harvard.
School.
They want to come to your team.
I'm going to transfer here. Yeah. Yeah.
Say, Buck.
Brad, you're breaking up, man. Could be on my end. You're breaking up. There, go ahead again. Jack, come on in, cover for Brett.
Locker room, Dave, if you can still hear me.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm in the mountains, if you can hear me.
Stop right there and go.
God bless the team.
Amen. Keep after him, Brett. Huh? Hey, a lot of people don't like the way Brett plays. He shouldn't be playing like that. Really? Playing more than you are. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, you mentioned the crazy Republican Party. Well, our county Republican committee meets once a month, and we start at 10 o'clock, but we meet for prayer at 9:30. And Bob Roy prints out, David Whitney puts a written prayer online every morning, and it has some specific goal in mind, whether it's praying for your sheriff or your county, or your school district or whatever. And Bob Roy prints those out, and we have those as a guide when every month when we have our little meeting. And so people are coming in that would not necessarily ever attend the church, but they sit down and they take a stack of those prayers and they read them with us. What a difference it makes.
Mm. It's Jack, very simple. You just said something that's important.
That's unusual.
I was noticing this the other day. I drove through our little town of Hebron. And several churches in town. And I'm driving by those little churches and I ask myself two questions. What would get me to ever walk in one of those? If I wasn't saved already, what would get me to ever walk in one of those? That's question number one I ask. And then question number two, if that place closed down, would the community even notice? That's some soul searching right there, baby. If that church on the corner closed down, would the community even notice it? And chances are no. Roger.
Can I ask you a question, Coach?
Yeah, go ahead. If you quit, quit cutting out.
Okay, I'll quit. What do you want the politicians to do? I want people to be specific. Tell me something that you want them to do that is constitutional and is within their jurisdiction to do. See, that's
tell
the problem.
Truth. Tell the truth really and not steal. Tell the truth, don't steal, and don't let other people steal. I'd start right there.
That sounds good.
Right?
How about representation? How about representation? We don't even know what a representative is. There's only supposed to be 35,000 people are supposed to have one representative. Right now, the minimum we have is about 750,000 people get one representative.
Yeah.
So we don't know the rules.
And the ones we get liars and thieves. They're liars. If they're taking your money and they're giving your money to the Ukraine, they are liars and thieves. They're
but
liars.
Let me give you an example.
I'm going to tell you this. I'll make you mad. Going to make you mad. If they're taking your money and they're giving your money to Israel, they're liars and thieves. They have no right to do that.
Boom.
But those prayer meetings that we have are making a difference.
We're okay with that because Christians are for that. Hey, you either do the right thing or you don't do the right thing. It's either okay to give my money to somebody I don't agree with or it's not. And I say it is not. And it's not okay to go in debt. Yet we continue to let these guys put us in debt. I don't. Roger.
Why isn't it okay?
It isn't okay. It's wrong. And if the church stood up and said it and put in Christian men in positions of authority, we wouldn't have this. If I was the Lord and I'd be looking down, I'd be about ready to rapture this place too, to be honest with you. Go ahead, Roger.
You know, the Buckeyes take on Akron this Saturday. And there's usually one or two street preachers, a guy in the corner with a megaphone, kind of acting like John the Baptist, I sometimes think.
Yeah, amen.
And I think of the thousands upon thousands of Christians, Sunday Christians, Saturday Christians, whatever day you go, walk by, they put their head down, they kind of hide, you know. And I think of the issue of the church, as you've said, you know, where is the church? But how do you broaden that to where is the individual Christian? Okay. You know, I understand that the concept of where is the church and the pastor, but we as individual Christians have a responsibility also. And we're not protected by the fact that we are a part of a body on Sunday, are we? The individual Christian is standing by and doing nothing.
That's right. That's right.
You know, the John the Baptist at the Akron, Ohio State game will be out there warning, proclaiming to the individual Christian that walks by. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the individual Christian will be criticizing him for being a zealot.
Absolutely. So as we understand that the church as a body has failed and the pastors have failed, I think there has to be some discussion and responsibility to the individual Christian is failing. They've allowed some of these institutions to do nothing. And they walk by the John the Baptist on Saturday with Akron versus Ohio State, who's proclaiming truth, and they put their head down and hide.
That's right, Roger.
I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
no,
I think it makes great sense. Individual right? Christian needs to be called out individually.
Yeah.
As much as the church body or the church building or the church pastor, we have a responsibility as a Christian ourselves. Period. Yeah. End of discussion.
You are the salt of the earth, right? You are the salt. I'm the salt. You are. We are not the building. not the congregation. We could, thanks, Roger. Hey, I want to say this. Somebody, I was talking to Chad the other day. Chad brought something up. Hey, folks, Roger Weaver does not give me $10,000 a week or a month or anything like that. If you guys, people out there saying, well, he must be in Roger's park. Roger's probably, you fools.
You know, Dave, let me say something real quick. What is funny is I live about 20 minutes from your house.
Yeah.
And I've always thought there's people in the queue that would die to live 20 minutes from you. But I don't think I stopped by your house. I should stop by Morgan. I should stop by Morgan because you're a friend and vice versa. But I don't stop by there hardly at all, and I probably should stop by more.
Roger supports us financially, but he ain't giving tens of thousands of dollars a week here.
No, no.
I'm telling you, Roger, our enemies are those of our own household. It's what the scripture says. Janine, come on in.
We're talking about several different things here. Here good one, Roger. Individual to body, it's corporate, and it is obedience. First of all, one of the things we've been talking about is kingdom. If everyone understood what the kingdom was, as far as Jesus himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. Mm-hmm. Heaven and earth, you just said it, said earlier, and gosh, I just lost my train of thought because I'm thinking about what Roger was saying. Jesus Christ is waiting for the manifestation sons of God, because if we are the salt and the light, that is what it is. You know, you're either a zealot or you're his disciple. Jesus told us to make disciples of men. And if we understood that my kingdom is not of this world, if we were the salt and the light of the earth, we would be changing this kingdom on earth, but we're not.
So Janine, let me, I don't mean to interrupt, but I got to make a point. My kingdom is not of this world, friends.
Exactly.
What does of mean? What does it mean, of? My kingdom did not originate or come from this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Not that he's not king of kings over this world. He's saying, I'm otherworldly. I didn't come out of this world system. I am not of the world. Do you get it?
And that's why he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So if we were the salt and the light of the earth, we'd be changing this kingdom not of his earth.
No, that's it. So if we use that as a reason not get involved because we're not of this world. Right, dude, you living in this world, huh? You paying taxes, you eating hamburger, you're of this world, all right? You are. He's not. His kingdom's not of this world. It's a different kingdom that you have to get in contact with.
It's not, but if it's in you, you will change this kingdom, because we individually have been changed to be the body waiting for the manifestation sons of God.
You know what the Holy Spirit just said to me, Janine? Folks, I don't make this stuff up. He says, that's the problem. Pastors are building their own kingdoms. That's what he just said to me. Joe Allen, go.
You asked what we were thinking of, what's on our minds, Coach. I'm sitting here thinking, what kind of program this is where you can interact? There's none. You can't get this. So when I look into when I participate in either doing training or going to Sky High, what I can give back, I don't ask a dime, just like everybody else don't. Get out there and fix things at Sky High or make a cross for Roger Weaver so he can put up at his farm. Roger asked me how much it costs. I said, your love for Coach and what you're doing for us.
Amen.
Give to this organization and see how much blossom it will grow.
Amen.
We are the salt and the light.
We are, man. We are. That's all I'm trying to do. Get you involved, man. Get to be part of the blessing. Get to be on the starting lineup. Actually get to be on the field. Are you kidding? Yeah. Oh, yeah. RJ, come on in. Hang on.
I got my hand up on my cell phone.
Okay, go ahead.
RJ won't mind me getting ahead of
it. No, he won't care. He said, let Randy come on in.
Yeah. Thanks, he'll tie. It's going to tie in, Randy. Go ahead.
Brother, I prefer you too, RJ. Hey, Coach, we're on the road. We're heading out 3 hours from the house this morning. Going to do six court today and tomorrow.
You zealots.
Okay. So, Coach, so look, Joe, Ken won't have a business. They're involved in other ministries. Ken Won just spent, he just got back from Guatemala, spent 8 or 10 days down there on a mission trip. Joe has been helping a lady campaign for city council. I mean, we're all covered up. We have no time, but Coach, we're still getting this done.
Yes.
I'm running a business. You know I do. And the other three guys are six of us going out here. Okay. What I'm saying is, if you believe in something, you're going to do it, okay? When we have to believe in what we're doing enough to go do it and just not be a watcher. This is a group God has raised up to be Caleb's and Joshua's, Coach.
Amen.
We're not watchers. We're doers. So I keep saying this every time. But Coach, you are so nailing it this morning. The kingdom of God, the church is, we're sitting here talking, me and Ken Wan and Joe, about the church has taught all about heaven, and they're talking about everything but the kingdom of God. God's purpose, Coach, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that what we're still doing as his sons?
It's what we're supposed to do.
I'm not waiting to get a new body to do that, Coach. I'm doing it from the moment I come into the kingdom. Until the moment I leave this body and go in the third heaven or wherever, God is bringing his kingdom to the earth, folks. Amen. I don't care what you think about your theology. That is what's happening. You're going to have to see it. And the people that see it, Coach, it's like Mark Trump said yesterday. If you can't see it, then you're just going to watch. But when you hear it and you see it and you get it, you can't stop. Be in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So, amen, Coach.
God bless you guys, Randy. Hey, Randy, by the way, I got your, I'll be sending your check out for the steak dinner coming.
Coach, I am not worried about it. You're covered up. I know you're not.
I'm a man of my word. I want you to know that.
I know that. Right. Amen, Coach. We love you. And yeah, thank you for all we're doing, Coach. But yeah, it's just, we got huge things coming, Coach. Huge things we're doing. So, amen.
Amen. RJ, piggyback on that.
Yeah, I think I can piggyback with it. Sure thing. You know, I was looking at the Facebook has a group on Facebook or fascist book, whatever you want to call that thing.
Yeah.
There's a group called Sooner Politics. It has over 2,000 people in the group here in the state of Oklahoma. And nobody is posting anything about a runoff race that just happened. It's going to come down. It's coming down to it here in Tulsa. We talked about the voter registration numbers being rigged, and they're not chronological, and algorithms are running. Well, we had a mayoral race, and you know, election was Tuesday, and here's the outcome of it, Coach. You got two leftist establishment left candidates, and they each got 33%. And in that, getting their 33% each, they edged out the Republican Christian, who's a former pastor and a business owner. He got 32%. So they have set it up as a runoff between the two lefties, and nobody in that Facebook group had even posted anything about this. And on top of that, Coach, one of the members of the election board here is a former Republican chairman for the Tulsa County. He's on the election board. And he was not, here's the deal. They're not supporting the candidate doing a challenge to the balloting. Even though they're voting, there's irregularities in the precincts, and they were making note of that. So I'm on the phone last night and the day before and the day before that saying, hey, this really stinks. It smells bad. You know, something's rotten here. And I posted in last night, there's no comment for 3 days from Sooner Politics. It's a whole, they're all asleep. And so last night they're trying to raise money for this candidate to challenge the count. He's got to raise $13,000 before today, before this morning. He had to have $13,000, and they're struggling to raise the money. And even the activist group called City Elders was, I said, hey, let's do a matching fund to raise some money. I get no feedback on that one, but, you know, praise God, you know, now people stepped up. I understand that they're going to be able to challenge the vote. And of course, they're going to do it a certain way. And I won't get into the details from there, but here's my point with this. And Randy, you can chime in on it, although I don't want to interrupt other people that'll come in here. I think we need to call an audible here on a play, because we need to go down to the election board, Randy, and make some declarations and decree and stake that thing. I know you've been delaying it for the ideal time. Well, we may need to audible because this thing's coming down now. And the mayor's, I won't get into the whole thing with the mayoral race and what's happening in Tulsa, but it's a front operation for the deep state. A lot of what goes on here.
So RJ, my mind goes here. 33, really?
Yep.
233s? Yeah. Huh?
There's a signal. Yeah, that's the enemy signaling something, isn't it?
Come on, Nick.
A double 33. So I posted in the Sooner Politics. What is that? That's Luciferian. There's their signal. They're telling us what they're doing.
Amen. Let us know how we can help, RJ. We're running out of time here. Mel, come on in.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, just from my perspective, I'm really encouraged. You know, the Ohio State Buckeyes had that revival on campus. Yeah. There's a local school in our area, too, that there's a picture that's gone viral of them kind of praying together with their arms kind of over each other, like in a restaurant. My son is on a high school team, and they do, you know, devotionals. And I mean, so I'm just really encouraged, these young people. I think that there's something moving, and I just want to praise God for that.
What an opportunity for the pastors to stand in the pulpit and let people know that that's a lie of the separation between the church and state. There is no lie. There is no separation between the church and the state. When I got sued by the ACLU in 1997, not a peep from the pulpit. Why? Because they all thought you couldn't pray in schools. The pastors thought. Folks, if our leaders don't understand truth, what the hell are they doing leading?
More thing, Coach. It's happening outside of the churches, and that's what Jesus modeled. I mean, Jesus did not call his people into the synagogues. Do you know what I mean? He went there, but he was more confronting the pastors of that day. What Jesus modeled is that he went to homes, he gathered with his disciples up in the hills. I mean, so I'm just saying that, you know, we talk about it all the time, you know, inside the four walls. That's not what Jesus modeled.
Amen. Let me end you with this for the day, okay? Pull up number 8, the bottom number 8. Hey, folks, remember yesterday Obama was talking about Hanum, and they built this statue of Hanum, and we just kind of brushed it off. Why would Obama have a statue of Hanum in his pocket? Well, so I look it up. Hanuman in Hindu mythology is a monkey, commander of the monkey army. Remember, Obama's got this in his pocket. Pardon me. Where did Kamala come from? Aren't her parents Hindu? Well, still a baby, Hanum, the child of a nymph by the wind god, tried to fly up and grab the sun and mistook for fruit. And Indra, the king of the gods, struck Hanum with a thunderbolt in the jaw, thus inspiring his magic powers, such as the ability to fly, yada, 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 yada. So we have paganism in the White House with Obama, and paganism in the White House with what's her name? And we wonder what's going on. And they tell us there's a separation between the church and state, and Christianity isn't allowed. And they sit back and they laugh at us when Barack Obama said that he's going to radically transform the United States of America. And they're putting up pagan statues in cities. They're pulling down Christian statues, Christian heroes, putting up pagan symbols, and ain't nobody noticing it. Nobody doing anything about it, folks. Huh? Oh, yeah, we are. Oh, yeah, Craig's got us doing stuff about it.
Boom.
Randy's got us doing stuff about it. We're pulling down strongholds. As they're putting them up, we're pulling them down. And somebody tell me something. Do you think Barack Obama, just by chance, had Hennam in his pocket? Just by chance? Some I don't think so. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.